Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we plunge headfirst into complex topics, sifting through the layers of information to unearth the most vital nuggets of knowledge for you. Today, we're zeroing in on an industry that touches nearly every aspect of modern life, often without us even realizing it. Insurance.
It's essential.
Absolutely, but it's often incredibly intricate, kind of opaque, right? Trying to cut through the jargon, the huge financial reports, all that data, it can feel like, well, deciphering an ancient scroll sometimes.
It really can. It's dense stuff.
But that's exactly our mission today. We're embarking on a comprehensive deep dive into the Travelers Companies, Inc. You probably know them by their ticker, TRV.
A major player.
A leading force in the property and casualty, or P&C, insurance world. We've gone through stacks of detailed investment research, industry reports, company filings, all to bring you the clearest picture possible. Our goal here is to arm you with the kind of knowledge that lets you cut through the noise, give you that shortcut to being genuinely well-informed.
And it's vital to frame this right, you know. Understanding a company like Travelers, it isn't just about the numbers, the quarterly earnings, or the balance sheet figures. It's really a fascinating look at how a company navigates this incredibly dynamic, often volatile industry.
Yeah, the volatility is key.
Think about the forces they're dealing with. Natural disasters, more frequent, more severe, persistent inflation, eating away at claims costs. Then there's the tech disruption. AI is everywhere now, changing everything. And the regulatory landscape is constantly shifting.
Never stays still.
Exactly. So today, we want to give you, our listener, not just the facts, but the strategic insights, the so what behind it all, really help you understand a crucial part of our economy.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Let's dive right into the P&C insurance market itself. Because to really get Travelers, you first need to zoom out, get a handle on the wild ride this whole market has been on.
It's been quite a story.
Yeah, a story of, well, extreme turbulence followed by this surprising, almost unbelievable comeback. You know, for anyone watching the P&C industry the last few years, turbulent is putting it mildly, brutal even.
Yeah, brutal is a good word for it.
Insurers were really battling fierce headwinds. We're talking about just a relentless stream of big catastrophe losses, hurricanes, wildfires, you name it.
Constantly hitting the headline.
Right. Plus that persistent claims inflation, the cost of everything, auto parts, building materials, labor are just climbing and climbing.
And don't forget the reinsurance market.
Oh yeah, that was challenging too. Even insurers struggled to get affordable insurance for themselves. It created this, well, perfect storm. And it all led to this staggering industry-wide net underwriting loss of $21.3 billion in 2023.
$21.3 billion. That's a huge number.
It's massive. It represents this deep financial wound showing just how tough things got for the whole sector.
It really was a period where, you know, people wondered how long insurers could keep absorbing those kinds of losses.
Yeah.
Which makes the turnaround we saw in 2024 just remarkable.
Absolutely remarkable.
The industry didn't just, you know, stop the bleeding. It posted a stunning $22.9 billion underwriting gain for the year.
Gain after that massive loss.
Exactly. That's the most robust performance in over a decade. To put that in perspective, let's look at the combined ratio.
Okay, the key metric.
Right. It's basically their operational profit margin on policies. Under 100% means profit, over 100% means loss. Well, that ratio improved dramatically. It went from 102.3% in 2023. So losses down to a forecast of 98.5% for both 2024 and 2025.
Wow, quite a swing.
It's a huge swing. It's not just numbers. It's proof that those aggressive pricing strategies finally worked.
Yeah.
Insurers got control back after years of, well, hemorrhaging cash. For you as a listener, this means the industry isn't just surviving, it's thriving again.
Yeah.
But the question is, how long can this last?
That's the crucial question, isn't it? Because that's a massive reversal in fortunes in a very short time. What actually drove this incredible swing? Was it just one thing or a mix?
It was definitely a power combination. Primarily two big factors.
Okay.
First, insurers really hit the accelerator on rate increases, aggressive ones. Direct premiums written, that's all the new and renewal business, grew by a substantial 10.1% in 2023.
10%, that's significant.
And another 8.0% in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
These weren't small tweaks. These were major price hikes across the board.
Right.
The second factor, maybe even more impactful, was this dramatic improvement in personal lines. And within that, specifically personal auto insurance.
Ah, auto insurance, always a focal point.
Always, and get this. Personal auto alone lost around $50 billion in underwriting across 2022 and 2023.
$50 billion just in auto losses.
Imagine the pressure. But then in 2024, a complete reversal, a $14 billion underwriting profit.
From a huge loss to a $14 billion profit.
Yes. That's an astonishing $31 billion year-over-year swing in just one segment.
Incredible.
What happened was those earned rate increases, the higher premiums people were finally paying, they caught up. They finally started outpacing that surge in claims costs we saw before, you know, vehicle parts, complex repairs, labor.
All that inflation we talked about.
Exactly. It was a classic, though painful, case of pricing finally catching up to the risk reality. It brought the segment back into the black.
So after this incredible rebound, my first thought is this sustainable? Or are we just looking at a temporary peak before things cycle back down? What's the realistic outlook for, say, 2025, 2026?
That's a very perceptive question, because the forecast does suggest a slowdown. Premium growth is expected to decelerate to maybe 5% in 2025 and 4% in 2026.
Okay, so slowing down, why?
It's expected as insurers basically reach rate adequacy. They feel they've raised prices enough overall to cover costs and hit profitability targets. So that urgent need for big hikes eases off.
Makes sense.
And the focus then tends to shift. Less on fixing margins, more on competing for market share again.
Back to competition.
Right. The industry's return on equity, ROE, how much profit for shareholder money, is expected to kind of stabilize around 10% for those years. Think of it as solid ground. Not printing money, but covering costs, keeping investors reasonably happy. But this leads us to a more nuanced, maybe even fragile situation.
Ah, okay. There's always a but.
Always. That amazing industry recovery, it's heavily leaning on personal lines, getting those huge rate hikes, that $31 billion swing. But that momentum is already starting to fade. Competition's coming back. Regulators might push back more on rate hikes.
Right.
And contrast that with commercial lines. They were the stable ones during the personal lines mess.
Yeah.
But now, their growth is slowing down.
Oh, interesting. The roles are reversing.
Kind of. Commercial lines premium growth dropped to just 5% in Q1 2024. That's down from almost 10% before. Renewal rates are moderating. Property insurance within commercial is getting super competitive again because lots of capital is flowing in.
So different parts of the market are moving differently.
Exactly. It creates what we call a bifurcated market.
Well,
personal lines improving, but maybe peaking. Commercial lines slowing down. Understanding this split is absolutely critical for understanding a diversified company like Travelers. #TagB or Travelers' position in the competitive arena.
That insight into the bifurcated market is key. Now let's take that big picture and zoom right in on Travelers itself. The U.S. P&C market is just massive, about $1.06 trillion in direct premiums written expected in 2024.
$1 trillion. It's staggering.
And it's surprisingly concentrated, too. The top 10 insurers, they grab about 51.4% of that huge pie. It's a land of giants.
It really is. And within this very competitive high-stakes game, Travelers holds a strong position. Respectable, though not completely dominant overall, they're the sixth largest P&C insurer in the U.S., about $41.9 billion in direct premiums written, giving them roughly a 3.97% market share in 2024.
So firmly in that top tier.
Definitely. But they're up against household names. You've got State Farm leading the pack with over 10% market share. Then Progressive, Berkshire Hathaway, Allstate, Liberty Mutual.
Big names, big competition.
Absolutely. It's a fierce battle at the top. Every point of market share is hard fought.
But what's really striking here, I think, is that overall market share number. It's interesting, sure, but it kind of hides Travelers' real strength in certain specific high-value areas. They're not trying to be everything to everyone.
Precisely. This is where Travelers' strategic focus becomes clear. They are an absolute powerhouse in commercial and specialty lines.
Right. That's their niche.
It's more than a niche. It's their core. For instance, they are the number one writer of commercial multi-peril policies. That's the foundational insurance package for many businesses covering property, liability, business interruption.
The essentials for businesses.
Exactly. And they're the number two writer of commercial auto insurance. This leadership in complex commercial products, it's not just a nice stat. It's the cornerstone of their whole franchise. It provides stable, high-quality earnings based on deep expertise and relationships, not just your volume.
It's a very different game than personal lines.
Very.
And this really brings that contrast into focus, doesn't it? Because their presence in personal lines is relatively smaller. What were the numbers? Seventh in homeowners, eighth in personal auto.
That's right. Much smaller footprint there compared to the giants.
So when we talk about Travelers, we're really looking at a commercial lines powerhouse that also competes in personal lines, not the other way around. Not a personal lines giant dabbling in commercial.
That distinction is absolutely crucial. It shapes their strategy, their strengths, their challenges. It defines their competitive moat.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about something that's just profoundly reshaping almost every industry, and insurance is right in the thick of it. Technology, specifically the explosion of data and the accelerating adoption of AI and machine learning.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
This isn't just hype anymore. It's a fundamental shift. Think about this stat. 88% of auto insurers and 70% of home insurers are either using, planning to use, or exploring AL.
88% in auto?
Yeah.
That's practically universal.
It is. It means this isn't some futuristic concept. It's happening right now, driving real change.
Those numbers really hammer home the scale of this. AI's applications are touching the entire insurance value chain. Everything from the first ad you see to the final claim check.
How so? Give us some examples.
Okay. In marketing, it's moving beyond broad demographics. Think super precise customer targeting, identifying exactly who needs which product and when. In underwriting, machine learning algorithms are doing incredibly sophisticated risk scoring and pricing. Much more accurate premiums, which goes straight to the bottom line.
Better pricing, better profits.
Right. And in claims, AI is analyzing photos of car damage to speed up assessments. It's estimating settlement values more accurately, and it's getting much better at detecting fraud.
Faster claims, less fraud.
Exactly. It's not just tweaking things. It's a total reimagining of how insurance works, all fueled by data and algorithms.
So it sounds like this isn't just about making things a bit more efficient, but a real paradigm shift for the industry. You mentioned this idea of predict and prevent. How does that actually work?
It absolutely is a paradigm shift. Historically, insurance was mostly reactive, detect and repair. Something bad happens, the insurer pays to fix it.
Right.
Wait for the claim.
Now, technology enables a proactive approach, predict and prevent. Insurers can actually help customers manage and even avoid risks.
How? Like with driving apps?
Exactly like that. Telematics tracks driving behavior. That allows for personalized policies, sure, but also coaching for safer driving. Usage-based insurance leverages this data for premiums that reflect your actual risk, not just broad averages.
So it's potentially safer for everyone, not just cheaper for some.
Precisely. It's about creating a safer environment, potentially reducing accidents. It's a win-win, changing the whole relationship between insurer and insured. And this technological arms race, it's fundamentally redefining competitive advantage.
How so? What was the old advantage versus the new?
Historically, an insurer's moat, their edge was built on sheer size, a powerful brand, maybe a big agent network.
Scale, brand, distribution, the classics. Right. Those still matter, of course. But the new competitive frontier, it's increasingly about harnessing proprietary data with advanced AI models. The winners going forward will be those who can best combine unique data assets with cutting-edge analytics for better risk selection, smarter pricing, more efficient claims.
So it's less about the biggest ad budget.
It's more about the smartest algorithms. Yeah.
This dynamic sounds like both a huge opportunity and a pretty big threat for established players like Travelers, doesn't it? They've got the data, the scale, but maybe not the agility of a tech startup.
That's exactly the tension. Travelers has this incredible, almost unique asset, decades of granular proprietary data, underwriting data, claims data, millions and millions of records.
That's the fuel for AI.
It's essential fuel.
Yeah.
Newer players can only dream of that kind of historical training data. It's invaluable.
Yeah.
They face challenges from those more agile, digitally native competitors.
Right.
The ones built on new tech from day one, without the legacy systems, the old processes, the huge existing workforce.
It's harder to turn a big ship.
Exactly. So Travelers' massive investments in tech infrastructure, in data science talent, they're not just about efficiency gains. They're a strategic imperative. They have to do it to defend their franchise. Their success here, integrating new tech, attracting talent, innovating quickly, will be a key factor in their market position and profitability over the next decade. It's a really high-stakes bet for them.
As if managing market cycles, inflation, and a tech revolution wasn't enough, there's regulation. And the regulatory landscape for P&C insurers seems to be getting more complex, almost overwhelming.
Overwhelming is right. We're talking over 3,300 regulatory updates in 2024 alone.
3,000? Just in 1 year?
Yeah. It's a staggering volume. It just shows how dynamic and demanding the oversight environment is. It's a constant battle just to keep up, let alone get ahead. And these regulations are hitting several key areas, creating both compliance headaches and big strategic challenges.
Like what? What are the main focus areas?
Okay, one big one is the response to climate change and catastrophes. In states really exposed, think Florida, California, Louisiana regulators are worried about market stability.
Because insurers are pulling back.
Right. When insurers non-renew policies or drastically raise rates in high-risk areas, it leaves people without coverage. So regulators step in with rules restricting insurers' ability to cancel policies or making it harder to get rates approved, even if the risk justifies them.
Trying to protect consumers.
Exactly. But the flip side is, it limits the insurer's flexibility to manage their exposure to these growing climate risks. It can force them to hold more risk, potentially at inadequate prices. It's a really tough balancing act.
Like climate and cats. What else?
And there's AI. All that powerful tech we just talked about. Regulators are watching closely.
Makes sense. Potential for bias.
That's the key concern. State insurance departments are adopting guidelines like the NAIC's Principles of Artificial Intelligence to ensure AI is used fairly, ethically, transparently. They're worried about algorithmic bias, where AI decisions might accidentally discriminate in pricing, underwriting, or claims. So, insurers like Travelers have to invest heavily in governance, in auditing their models, making sure they're not just effective, but also equitable. It's a whole new layer of compliance.
Significant investment needed there.
Definitely. And finally, cybersecurity. It's always a priority, but it's intensifying.
Because insurers hold so much sensitive data.
Exactly. They're prime targets. We've seen new, stricter rules from the SEC for public companies and updated rules from places like the New York Department of Financial Services, which often sets the standard. It means more investment in security, more protocols, more talent. And regulators are expected to increase scrutiny, more exams, more enforcement. Failing here carries huge reputational and financial risk.
So put all this together. What does it mean for the bottom line? It sounds like costs are going up and maybe revenue potential is being capped in some areas.
You've hit the core issue. The convergence of all these pressures creates this potential long-term squeeze on insurer margins.
How so?
On one side, revenue growth can be constrained. It's politically difficult to get big rate hikes approved in disaster-prone areas, even if the data shows the risk is way up due to climate change.
And popular moves.
Very. But on the other side, expenses are being driven higher. Compliance costs for AI governance, data privacy, cybersecurity, these require significant ongoing investment in tech, people, processes.
So revenue constrained, expenses up.
Exactly. That dynamic poses a direct threat to underwriting profitability. It makes operational efficiency and really disciplined risk management even more critical for every carrier, including Travelers. They have to be incredibly well-run just to maintain margins. #tech2, Travelers Core Operations and Financial Health.
All right, let's pivot now to Travelers Core Operations. A fundamental principle for any P&C insurer's long-term value is consistent underwriting profit. That's the heart of the business model.
It absolutely is.
And Travelers, by most accounts, has a strong track record here, a history of underwriting discipline across different market cycles.
That's generally true. If you look at their consolidated underwriting performance, say from 2020 through 2024, the data usually shows them operating with a combined ratio below 100%.
Below that break-even point.
Right. Making money on their core insurance business.
Yeah.
There was only a slight blip in 2023 where they just edged over 100%. But 2024 was particularly strong. The combined ratio improved by 4.5 points, landing at a very healthy 92.5%.
92.5. That's solid.
Very solid. It generated a record underwriting gain of over $3.1 billion for them. And that was largely because their loss ratio, the claims costing, came down significantly. Those earned rate increases finally overtook the loss cost trends.
The strategy paid off in 24.
It did. And what's also quite telling and speaks to good management is how stable their expense ratio has been. It consistently hovers around 28-29%.
Keeping costs under control.
Exactly. It points to effective cost management, good operational efficiency, even while the market's doing crazy things.
But here's where it gets really interesting, I think, because it shows just how volatile this business can be. Even after that incredibly strong 2024, their Q1 2025 results took a sharp turn. Almost immediately.
Yes.
A stark reminder.
It highlights that even the most disciplined underwriters aren't immune to big external shocks.
That's a critical observation. It really underscores the unpredictable nature of P&C. In that first quarter of 2025, Travelers' consolidated combined ratio deteriorated significantly. It jumped to 102.5%.
Back over 100%.
Back into underwriting loss territory for the quarter, up from 93.9% in Q1 the year before.
What drove that big jump?
It was almost entirely driven by a spike in the loss ratio, paying out much more in claims relative to the premiums earned. Management pointed directly at elevated catastrophe losses. specifically significant impacts from California wildfires in that quarter.
Ah, the wildfires again.
Yeah. And this result, coming right after a record year, it just vividly shows how sensitive quarterly earnings are to major CAT events. It's a powerful reminder. Even for a disciplined company like Travelers, profitability can swing wildly quarter to quarter due to things largely outside their control. It's a constant fight against the unexpected.
Okay, so underwriting is volatile, we get that. But there's the second engine for an insurer's profitability, its investment portfolio.
The other side of the house, yes.
And Travelers' approach here seems to be about stability, managing a large, high-quality portfolio designed to provide a steady, predictable stream of income, kind of a buffer against that underwriting roller coaster.
Precisely. That's the goal. As of the end of 2024, their total investment portfolio was over $94 billion. Big number.
Huge. How's it allocated?
Pretty conservatively, deliberately so. Fixed income, mostly bonds, made up a substantial 94% of that.
94% in bonds.
The other 6% was in non-fixed income, things like private equity, real estate partnerships, some hedge funds, stuff with potentially higher returns, but also more risk. But what's really key for you as a listener is the quality of that huge fixed income slice. It's exceptionally high.
Oh, huh.
Get this, 98.8% of it was rated investment grade. Very safe debt. And within that, almost half, 48.3%, was rated APRA, the absolute highest credit rating possible. Another 18.3% was A for the next step down.
Wow. So very, very low risk.
Extremely low risk. It reflects a really prudent approach. They're focused on risk management, capital preservation. They're not gambling with the money needed to pay future claims. Think of it like a financial fortress built for stability above all else.
So what does this conservative, fortress-like approach mean in today's interest rate world? Because rates have shot up recently. Does that strategy still work or is it a drag?
It absolutely works. And actually, it's become a major advantage now. That sharp rise in interest rates since 2022, it's completely transformed the investment game for insurers like Travelers.
Yeah, so?
For years, low rates suppressed investment returns. Insurers had to rely almost entirely on underwriting profit, if they could get it. That dynamic has decisively flipped. Travelers' net investment income has become a significant, powerful tailwind for their earnings. It jumped 24% from $2.9 billion in 2023 to $3.6 billion in 2024.
A 24% increase just from investment.
Just from the investment income, yeah. And that positive trend continued strongly into Q1 2025 as well.
Why the big jump?
It's simple math, really. As their existing bonds mature and as new cash comes in from premiums, they can reinvest that money into new bonds, yielding much, much higher rates than what was available a few years ago.
So higher rates are actually helping them now?
Massively. That conservative, high-quality portfolio, which might have looked like a drag when rates were near zero, is now a powerful growing source of earnings. It provides that crucial buffer against underwriting swings and significantly boosts the stability of their overall results. It's a strategic strength that's really come back into favor.
#C, profitability and shareholder value creation.
Ultimately, though, the real measure of success for any insurer, beyond just running the business well and investing smartly, is translating all that into attractive returns for shareholders.
Right.
That's the bottom line for investors.
Absolutely. That's the end goal.
How does Travelers stack up there?
They have a very strong long-term record on that front. For the full year 2024, they delivered an exceptional core return on equity ROE of 17.2%.
17.2% ROE. That sounds high. It is. It's a big jump from prior years and comfortably above their long-term target, which is usually in the mid-teens. It shows they're generating substantial profit on the capital shareholders have invested. And this strong profitability directly fuels shareholder value. Their book value per share, BVPS, a key measure of net asset value per share, grew by a healthy 13% during 2024.
13% growth in book value. Nice.
Yeah, it went from about $109 up to nearly $123. And it kept climbing into early 2025, hitting $124.43 by March 31st.
And this isn't just a one-off good year.
No, it's consistent with their long-term trend. Over the past two decades, their book value per share and adjusted book value per share have grown at compound annual rates of 5% and 7% respectively. That shows consistent capital compounding over time.
So how does Travelers use its capital, its profits, to create this value for you, the shareholder? What's their playbook for deploying that capital? Do they just sit on it or give it back?
They have a very clear, very consistent capital allocation framework, which is great for investor confidence, by the way.
Okay, what's the framework?
Priority one, deploy capital to support growth, both organic and through acquisitions. But And this is crucial, only if those growth opportunities are expected to generate attractive, industry-leading returns. They're not chasing growth for growth's sake.
Disciplined growth, got it. What's next?
Priority two. Any capital generated beyond what's needed for that profitable growth, it gets systematically returned to shareholders.
How do they do that? Dividends? Buybacks?
Both. They have an impressive history of capital returns. They've paid a dividend every single year since 1994.
Wow, since 94.
And they've increased that dividend for 22 consecutive years.
22 years of increases. That's a strong signal of stability.
It absolutely is. It speaks to the underlying stability and cash generation of the business. And the current payout ratio is pretty conservative, around 18.5% of earnings. So there's plenty of room for future increases. The dividend looks very safe. But while dividends are steady, the main way they return excess capital has actually been through share repurchases or buybacks.
Ah, okay. More buybacks than dividends.
Significantly more. Since 2006, they've returned a massive total of $54.7 billion to shareholders. Of that, $41.1 billion came via buybacks, compared to $13.7 billion in dividends.
Why the focus on buybacks? What's the advantage there?
Flexibility. It gives them crucial financial flexibility. In insurance, earnings and capital can get hit hard by unpredictable things. Big hurricanes, sudden claims surges. A large, flexible buyback program is an essential tool. It lets them return all that excess capital over time like they promise, but without being locked into a rigid dividend commitment that might become unsustainable if they have a really bad catastrophe year or the economy tanks.
So they can scale it up or down.
Exactly. They can ramp up buybacks when times are good and capital is plentiful, and they can pull back to preserve capital when needed, like after a major disaster. It still delivers substantial returns to shareholders over the full cycle, but in a much more adaptable way. It's smart capital management for a volatile business.
Okay, now that we have that big picture consolidated view, it's really important to remember that sometimes looking at the whole company can mask different things happening underneath, distinct, even opposing trends within the segments.
That's very true. You need to peel back the layers.
So let's break down Travelers' core business segments, starting with business insurance. This seems to be the bedrock, right? The foundation of their earnings power.
Absolutely. Business insurance is their largest segment, and it's consistently the most stable pillar of their financial results. It consistently generates strong underwriting profits.
How big is it?
In Q1 2025 alone, it brought in $5.7 billion in net written premiums. Substantial. And its combined ratio for the full year 2024 was a very healthy 90.7%.
Well under 100. Solid profit.
Very solid. And even in that tough, catastrophe-heavy first quarter of 2025 when the overall company swung to a loss, the business insurance segment still posted a combined ratio of 96.2%.
Still profitable, even then.
Still profitable. Higher than usual, sure, but substantially better than the company average. It really shows its underlying resilience and stability, even when things get rough industry-wide. It's the anchor for the whole enterprise.
And what's really impressive here, I think, is its ability to get those price increases while also keeping its customers. That's a powerful combination.
It really is. That's the holy grail in competitive markets.
Speaks volumes about the value they provide.
It absolutely does. If you look at Q4 2024, for example, they achieved strong renewal premium changes of 9.6%. Basically raising prices nearly 10% on renewals.
And retention. Did customers leave?
Nope. They couple that with a high retention rate of 85%.
85% retention while hiking prices almost 10%.
Exactly. That combination is a strong signal of a superior competitive position, a valuable franchise. It means customers see the value, the service, the security Travelers offers in this complex commercial space, and they're willing to pay for it. This consistent profitability gives Travelers the financial stability to navigate challenges elsewhere, like in personal lines, and keep investing for the long term, especially in tech and talent. It's a core advantage that's hard for others to match. Okay, from that stable foundation, let's move to what many analysts call Travelers' crown jewel, the bond and specialty insurance segment. This one's known for just exceptional profitability.
Exceptional is definitely the right word, maybe even an understatement.
Really? That good?
Yeah. This segment's performance in 2024 was truly remarkable. It recorded a combined ratio of just 79.1%.
79.1. That's incredibly low.
It means for every dollar of premium they took in, only about 79 cents went out for claims and expenses. Huge profit margin. It generated an underwriting gain of $858 million on just over $4.1 billion of premium. Big profit on smaller premium volume than business insurance.
Exactly. High margin business. And this stellar performance continued into Q1 2025. Even with the broader challenges, they still posted an 82.5% combined ratio, still incredibly profitable. These are margins most other insurers only dream about in their main lines.
And this segment focuses on very specific specialized products, right? Things like surety bonds, management liability insurance, D&O for corporate executives.
Precisely. Surety bonds guarantee contracts get fulfilled. Management liability protects directors and officers, highly specialized areas.
How does that specialization lead to such great profits?
It's all about competitive advantage, building a strong moat. In these specialized fields, you need deep expertise, bespoke underwriting, strong long-term relationships. It creates high barriers to entry.
Not just anyone can jump in and compete effectively.
Not at all. It's not a commodity you buy online. This specialization allows travelers to achieve superior risk selection. They really know these niches and very precise pricing. That leads to underwriting margins that are significantly higher and, crucially, much less cyclical than in more general insurance lines.
More stable profits, too.
Right. So the consistent high-margin profits from bond and specialty provide a powerful boost to travelers' overall ROE. It's a key, durable source of their competitive advantage. It's where their specialized knowledge really, really pays off.
All right, now let's pivot to the other side of the coin. A stark contrast to the strength we just saw in commercial and specialty. Personal insurance seems to be travelers' biggest near-term headache right now.
That's fair to say. It's definitely their most significant challenge at the moment.
The segment has been really battered, hasn't it? Hit by that double whammy, high catastrophe losses and stubborn claims inflation. A tough market to be in.
It certainly has been. This segment booked large underwriting losses in both 2022 and 2023. Just shows how difficult those years were for personal lines across the industry. Now, they did manage a modest return to profit in 2024. Combined ratio was 98.7%, just under breakeven. That was welcome news. But it proved very short-lived. Fragile, really.
And here's where it really hits home, showing just how big the challenge is. Because that deterioration in Q1 2025 was dramatic. It wiped out that small 2024 gain immediately.
It was indeed dramatic. In Q1 2025, the personal insurance segment's combined ratio just soared. It hit an alarming 115.2%.
115.2.
Up from 96.9% the year before. To put that plainly for you, the listener, for every dollar of premium the segment earned, it had $1.15 in losses and expenses.
Ouch. Losing 15 cents on every dollar earned.
Exactly. That's what we call value-destructive growth. They're losing money on every policy. Now, they are raising premiums, like everyone else. Net written premiums grew to $3.8 billion in the quarter. But those rate hikes were clearly not enough to offset the impact of those severe catastrophe losses, especially the California wildfires. This segment's struggle really highlights a broader dilemma in personal lines, that tension between chasing growth and maintaining profit.
Grow market share or stop the bleeding.
Right. The market offers chances for premium growth through rate hikes. But that growth is pointless if you can't underwrite it profitably. You just dig a deeper hole. And Travelers' relatively smaller scale in personal lines compared to giants like State Farm or Progressive. That might be a structural disadvantage here.
How so?
Those huge competitors just have vastly more data from their massive customer bases. That data fuels much more sophisticated pricing and underwriting models, especially in data-hungry personal auto. They can price risk with surgical precision. Smaller players might struggle to match that.
So, if personal lines are bleeding money like this, what's the strategic choice for Travelers? Do they keep pushing, hoping rates eventually catch up? Or do they pull back from a segment that's dragging down the whole company?
That's the million-dollar question for management. It's a really difficult strategic choice.
What are the options?
Well, they could make the tough call to pull back, cede market share, maybe exit certain states or lines to stop the underwriting losses and protect the overall company's profitability.
Power.
Or they could keep pursuing growth, keep raising rates, hoping that eventually those increases will overcome the bad loss trends. Betting on a future turnaround. How management navigates this, whether they re-underwrite aggressively, raise rates even more, or strategically shrink the division, that will be a critical factor in the company's overall performance in the coming years. It's definitely a key thing for you to watch if you're following Travelers. #actualforthy. Travelers' competitive advantages and strategic position.
Okay, so we've seen the challenges, the segment dynamics, but what truly sets Travelers apart? In such a competitive market, where does their enduring strength, their competitive advantage, come from? Let's start with how they actually sell their insurance. Their main strategy relies on this huge network, right? over 12,700 independent agencies and brokers.
That's right. And this channel, which they've carefully built and nurtured over decades, is a truly durable competitive advantage, especially in those complex commercial and specialty lines we talked about, their core business.
How is using independent agents an advantage over, say, selling direct online like GiaCo or Progressive?
Well, direct-to-consumer models require massive, continuous advertising spending just to get customers in the door. Think of all those GiaCo Gecko ads, the Progressive campaign.
Billions on advertising.
Exactly. The independent agent channel, on the other hand, provides a more stable, often more cost-effective, and highly relationship-driven flow of business. These agents aren't just order takers. They act as trusted advisors to their clients, helping businesses navigate complicated insurance needs. And crucially, they also provide valuable feedback and insights to travelers, helping with underwriting and risk selection.
So the agents help travelers underwrite better?
In many ways, yes. They know the local market. They know the clients. This partnership approach fosters deep, sticky relationships. It leads to higher customer retention rates. In a market where products can sometimes look similar, the strength of this distribution franchise, these agent relationships, is a key differentiator. It's very difficult, maybe impossible, for competitors to replicate quickly. It's a deep moat.
It makes sense. And fundamentally, insurance is about two core things, isn't it? Selecting the right risks, that's underwriting, and then paying claims efficiently and fairly when things go wrong.
The absolute core of the business.
And Travelers' expertise in these two functions seems to be a real hallmark of their franchise. It's where they earn their reputation.
Absolutely. On the underwriting side, they employ a highly granular, very disciplined approach. They're not just looking at broad categories. They're evaluating risks account by account, class by class.
Getting into the weeds.
Deep into the weeds. And this detailed process is backed up by deep specialization. They have experts in over 40 different industries, construction, tech, healthcare, you name it. And it's all informed by that massive proprietary database we mentioned, over 164 million data points built up over a decade plus. This allows for incredibly precise risk assessment. They can price policies accurately and hopefully avoid taking on unexpectedly bad risks. It's a combination of data power and human expertise.
Okay, so they're good at picking the risks. What about when claims actually happen? That's the moment of truth for the customer.
It absolutely is. And this is another area where Travelers takes a distinct approach. They rely almost exclusively on their own large in-house team of over 12,000 claim professionals.
12,000 people just handling claims.
Yes. They largely avoid the common industry practice of outsourcing claims handling to third-party adjusters.
Why do they keep it in-house?
Management firmly believes it gives them greater control over the entire claims process. That control, they argue, leads to more consistent, more efficient, and critically fairer outcomes for customers. When you have a claim, you want it handled quickly and properly by someone who knows what they're doing. They even develop specialized claims models, for example, their TravComp model for workers' compensation. It separates claims into dedicated units focused on different stages, investigation, critical care management, getting people back to work safely and quickly.
Tailored approach.
Very tailored. Designed to improve outcomes for injured workers and control costs for the employers they insure. This integrated, expert-driven approach to both underwriting and claims is fundamental to their ability to generate consistent underwriting profits over the long haul and maintain that strong reputation.
Now, we touched on this earlier, but technology is truly reshaping the competitive landscape. And Travelers isn't standing still. They're making substantial investments here. You mentioned a team of over 7,000 technologists and data analytics professionals.
That's right. It's basically a mini tech company embedded within the insurance giant.
So this isn't just playing defense.
No. Not at all. It's a strategic, proactive effort to extend their long-standing advantage in risk expertise using these powerful new tools. They're actively deploying AI and machine learning across the business. For instance, in claims alone, they use over 55 different predictive models.
55 models just for claims? Doing what?
Assisting with everything from flagging potentially fraudulent claims much faster to optimizing medical management for injured workers, making the whole process quicker, more efficient, and more accurate. Think about the sheer volume of claims data they have. These models are constantly learning and improving.
Do we have some concrete examples? How does this AI stuff actually work in practice?
We do. And they really bring it to life. Take catastrophes like wildfires. Travelers uses deep learning models to analyze high-resolution aerial imagery of properties after the fire.
Looking at pictures from the sky.
Exactly. This lets them immediately identify homes that are total losses. And here's the key part. They can often advance payments to those customers before an adjuster can even physically get to the site.
Wow. That must be a huge relief for people who've lost everything.
Imagine. It drastically shortens the time between disaster and getting funds to start rebuilding. It's a powerful use of tech for customer service. Another example. In their legal department, they've got an AI tool they call the General Liability Coverage Assistant. It can scan complex lawsuits, automatically identify the key allegations, and provide concise summaries to the claim professionals.
So it saves lawyers time reading documents.
It significantly speeds things up and improves accuracy. It lets the human experts focus on the tricky legal strategy and nuanced decisions, not just sifting through pages and pages of text. These are real-world applications delivering real benefits. Ultimately, all these huge investments in tech, data, AI, they're critical for improving operational efficiency, helping lower that expense ratio we talked about, and for refining risk selection even further. It's all aimed at defending their underwriting margins against those nimble digital competitors who are also using these tools. It's about maintaining and extending their competitive edge in a tech landscape that's changing incredibly fast. #V. Risk assessment and recent challenges, 2023-2025 focus. #day. Industry-wide headwinds. Every company faces risks, and insurance seems particularly exposed to external forces. Travelers is no exception. Let's start with the big industry-wide headwinds, a major risks facing pretty much all P&C insurers that Travelers also has to navigate.
Definitely. There are several big ones constantly on the radar. First, the ongoing impact of inflation.
Still, even though headline inflation has cooled a bit,
yes.
Because the specific inflation hitting P&C insurers remains stubbornly high. It's disproportionate. We're not just talking general prices. We're talking about the cost of auto parts and repair labor still way up. Construction materials for property claims still rising. Medical care costs for liability and workers' comp claims.
The stuff insurers actually pay for.
Exactly. Those specific costs continue to rise faster than the general inflation rate. That puts constant upward pressure on claim severity, the average cost per claim. It means insurers have to keep pushing for rate increases just to keep premiums in line with rising costs. And that could be a real battle with regulators and customers. If they can't get the rates, their margins get squeezed hard.
Okay, inflation is one. What's next? Catastrophes.
Catastrophes, absolutely. Catastrophe losses, the frequency and severity just keep trending upwards. Climate change plays a role, sure, but also just more development in risky areas, building more expensive things in places prone to hurricanes, wildfires, floods.
More valuable stuff in harm's way.
Right. 2024 was another active year for cats in the U.S., and we saw Q1 2025 start with those big California wildfires hitting Travelers' results hard. And a concerning trend is the growing impact of secondary perils.
Secondary perils? What are those?
Things like severe convective storms, basically. Intense thunderstorms bringing hail, high winds, localized flooding, tornadoes sometimes. These are becoming a major source of industry losses, billions and billions each year. And they're often harder to model and price accurately than a big hurricane you can track for days.
More unpredictable.
More unpredictable, more widespread. And persistently high cat losses don't just hit underwriting results directly. They also drive up the cost of reinsurance insurance for insurers, which is a key expense for companies like Travelers. It adds another layer of cost pressure.
Okay, inflation, catastrophes. What else?
The third big one, maybe the most challenging because it's so hard to pin down, is social inflation.
Social inflation. We hear that term a lot. What does it actually mean?
It refers to the rising costs of liability claims going up much faster than general economic inflation.
Yeah.
It's driven by societal trends.
Like
increasing litigiousness, people being more willing to sue, more plaintiff-friendly legal decisions in courts, and this rise in nuclear verdicts, these incredibly large jury awards in liability races, sometimes tens or even hundreds of millions of dollars.
So a small accident potentially leading to a massive lawsuit payout.
Exactly. That's the fear. Social inflation mostly affects longer tail casualty lines, things like commercial auto liability, general liability for businesses, professional liability. These are core businesses for Travelers, and it's incredibly difficult to quantify and price for. How do you predict jury sentiment 5 or 10 years down the road? It poses this long-term systemic threat to the profitability of casualty insurance because its future impact is just so uncertain. #B, company-specific challenges.
Beyond those big industry-wide issues, what about challenges that are more specific to Travelers itself? What are the particular hurdles they need to clear?
There are a few key ones management is definitely focused on. First, as we've discussed quite a bit, Personal Lines profitability.
Getting that segment back on track.
Exactly. Restoring the personal insurance division to consistent, acceptable underwriting profit is probably their most pressing near-term operational challenge. Its recent poor performance has been a significant drag on the company's overall results. If they fail to turn it around, whether through rates, underwriting changes, pulling back, it will continue to weigh on their consolidated ROE and how the market views them. It's a very visible weak spot right now.
Okay, personal lines is number one. What else?
Second, there's the challenge of maintaining commercial lines margins. Travelers benefited hugely from several years of that hard market. In commercial lines, a big rate increase is expanding margins. That's where they shine.
But markets cycle, right?
They always do. As the market cycle eventually turns and pricing inevitably gets more competitive, maybe new capital comes in. Maybe existing players chase market share more aggressively. Travelers' ability to maintain its underwriting discipline and defend those strong margins will be tested.
More pressure on pricing and keeping customers.
Exactly. They'll have to work harder to keep that profitability edge they currently enjoy in their core commercial business.
Makes sense. And then third?
Third, there's inherent technology execution risk. We talked about all those significant investments they're making in tech, data, AI. Billions of dollars, thousands of people.
Strategically necessary, you said.
Absolutely necessary. But they also carry execution risk. Building and integrating complex cutting-edge systems into a huge established company like Travelers, it's never easy. There are always delays, cost overruns, things that don't work as planned.
The best laid plans.
Right. If these complex, expensive projects fail to deliver the intended benefits, if they don't actually lower the expense ratio enough, or improve risk selection as much as hoped, or create a noticeably better customer experience, then they could end up being a significant misallocation of capital. It could hurt profitability and future competitiveness. It's a high-stakes race, and actually delivering on the promise of all that tech spending is critical.
Understanding all these operational factors, the strategy, the risks, it's all crucial background. But ultimately, for you as an investor, it often comes down to valuation. What does the market actually think Travelers is worth, and does the current stock price reflect that?
Right. The million-dollar question.
And valuing a P&C insurer isn't always simple. You need to look at multiple metrics, right? Because of the cycles and how important the balance sheet is.
That's exactly right. For insurers, price-to-book value, PB, is often seen as a primary valuation metric. Book value is basically the company's net asset value, what shareholders would theoretically get if it liquidated.
Okay, so how does Travelers look on PB?
As of August 2025, its PB ratio was around 2.1x to 2.2x.
2.1 to 2.2 times the book value. Is that high or low?
It's notably above its 10-year historical average, which has mostly been in the 1.0x to 2.0x range.
So the market's paying a premium compared to its history. Why?
It usually suggests the market has confidence in the company's ability to consistently generate returns on equity, that ROE number, that are well above its cost of capital.
Yeah.
Basically, the market believes Travelers is a high-quality operator that deserves that higher multiple on its assets.
Okay, that's PB. What about the more familiar price-to-earnings, PE ratio?
Right, comparing stock price to earnings per share. As of August 2025, Travelers' trailing 12-month PE ratio was about 11.9x.
11.9, and compared to history.
Interestingly, that's notably below its 10-year historical average PE, which was around 13.3x.
Huh. So PB is high relative to history, but PE is low. How does that work?
It's an interesting divergence. It's likely happening because of that recent surge in earnings we talked about in 2024. The E in the PE ratio, the earnings simply grew much faster than the stock price in the short term. That makes the PE ratio look lower mathematically.
So the market might be saying, great earnings now, but maybe that's a peak.
That could be part of the interpretation. The market isn't fully baking those peak earnings into the long-term valuation, perhaps anticipating some moderation. We also have some specific comparison points. PB at 2.21, PE at 11.87, and a dividend yield around 1.56%. Gives you a snapshot of where it stood. #TagTagTagTagB key valuation considerations.
So it's clearly not just about plugging numbers into a formula. There are more qualitative things, underlying factors that you should think about when evaluating Travelers beyond just the current multiples.
Absolutely. A smart valuation has to go deeper. You need to consider several qualitative and cyclical factors. First, cyclical adjustments.
Right, because insurance is cyclical.
Highly cyclical. Earnings swing significantly year to year based on catastrophes, pricing cycles. That strong 2024 performance, the high ROB, that might well be a cyclical peak. So it's often better to value the company based on a normalized level of earnings, or ROE averaged out over a full underwriting cycle, good years and bad, rather than just taking the latest peak number and running with it.
Sure.
It gives you a more conservative, more realistic long-term picture.
Okay, normalized for the cycle. What else?
Second, reserve quality. This is hugely important for any insurer and something you really need to scrutinize.
Why is reserve quality so critical?
Because reserves are estimates of future claim payments. If a company consistently underestimates those future costs under reserves, if past profits look better than they really were, those profits will eventually get eaten up by future reserve charges when the true costs become clear. It paints a misleading picture.
So how does Travelers look on reserves?
They have a strong reputation for conservative reserving. They have a long history of generating favorable prior year reserve development, meaning their initial estimates for losses in past years often turned out to be prudently high. So they get to release those excess reserves later, which actually boosts current earnings. It's the opposite of under-reserving. This is particularly true for their big, well-managed workers' compensation book. That often helps offset any unexpected bad news in more volatile liability lines. This track record of reserve integrity is a strong sign of high-quality, transparent management. It definitely warrants a premium valuation compared to companies with shakier reserving histories. It shows the ship is well-run.
Good point. Okay, cycle, reserves, anything else?
And finally, franchise value.
Yeah.
A big chunk of Travelers' real intrinsic value isn't actually sitting there on the balance sheet in black and white.
Intangibles.
Exactly. Things like their strong, trusted brand, that premier distribution network of 12,700 independent agents, their deep underwriting and in-house claims expertise built over decades, their disciplined corporate culture. These are all significant intangible assets. They make up its franchise value. And these assets are the reason Travelers has been able to consistently generate those returns on equity above its cost of capital year after year.
And the market recognizes this.
Yes. The market sees this franchise value and prices it into the stock, typically resulting in that premium to book value we talked about. The current PB ratio reflects the market's belief that Travelers can keep leveraging these durable advantages to create substantial shareholder value long into the future, even as the industry keeps changing. Hashtag tag tag 7-Up. Extemphasis and key takeaways.
Okay, let's pull all of this together now. We've covered a lot of ground. You've got the full picture, the industry context, Travelers' specific strengths, its challenges, its advantages. Let's distill the key insights, answer the most important questions about Travelers for you.
Sounds good. I can walk us through the main points, reinforcing what we've discussed.
Great. Let's start with number one. How does their combined ratio, their underwriting performance, really stack up against peers?
Okay. Travelers has a consistent record of generally superior underwriting. That 92.5% combined ratio in 2024 was strong. While Q1 2025 showed that catastrophe volatility can hit anyone, their long-term discipline, especially in core commercial lines, really stands out and often performs better than many industry peers over the cycle.
Number two, how are they actually addressing that persistent inflation in auto and property claims costs?
They're using a multi-pronged strategy. Aggressively pursuing rate increases is key,
right,
but also leveraging their large in-house claims team to manage costs effectively. And deploying that advanced tech like the aerial imagery for property, AI for fraud detection and damage assessment to make the claims process faster, more accurate, and hopefully cheaper in the long run.
Three, how good are they at maintaining pricing discipline, especially now that the market might be softening a bit?
Highly effective, based on recent evidence. Getting those 9.6% renewal rate increases in Q4 2024 business insurance while keeping 85% of their customers. That shows real pricing power and strong customer loyalty, even as competition might be heating up.
Number four, that crucial point about loss reserve quality. What's the verdict?
They have a strong, well-regarded reputation for high-quality, conservative reserving. They consistently report net favorable prior year reserve development. Their initial estimates often prove more than adequate, which enhances earning stability and credibility. That workers' comp book is a key source of this stability.
Five, investment portfolio performance. How has that conservative strategy played out?
Exceptionally well in the recent rising rate environment. The portfolio is conservatively managed, mostly high-quality fixed income. Net investment income grew a substantial 24% in 2024, providing a significant, stable earnings tailwind that buffers underwriting volatility. The strategy is paying off now.
Six, what are their most sustainable competitive advantages? What really protects them?
The key durable moats are that premier, long-cultivated distribution network of 12,700 independent agents, their deep underwriting and in-house claims expertise backed by vast proprietary data, and their significant scale and diversification across different business lines. These are hard for competitors to replicate.
7. The impact of catastrophe activity. How significant has it been recently?
It's had a significant negative impact, particularly dragging down personal insurance profitability. That Q1 2025 underwriting loss was largely due to California wildfires. And beyond direct losses, high cat activity also makes reinsurance more expensive for everyone, adding to costs.
8. Their excess capital position and how they allocate it. What are the priorities?
They maintain a very strong fortress balance sheet with ample capital. Priority one is reinvesting in profitable growth. Then they systematically return all excess capital to shareholders via that steadily growing dividend, 22 straight years of increases, and the large flexible share buyback program for capital management agility.
9. Current valuation. How does it look compared to its own history, intrinsic value, maybe peers?
The current valuation reflects its high-quality status. The price-to-book ratio, around 2.2x, is at the higher end of its historical range, showing market confidence. The P/E ratio, around 11.9x, is below its historical average, likely due to recent peak earnings. Overall, the market seems to view it as fairly valued, pricing in both its strengths and its current challenges.
And finally, number 10, looking ahead, what are the key risks to the investment thesis over the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
The big ones would be prolonged, continued unprofitability in personal lines acting as a persistent drag, a significant worsening of social inflation trends hitting their core commercial liability lines, a truly massive mega catastrophe event that severely impairs capital and earnings, and a faster than expected softening of the commercial lines market that erodes their pricing power and margins. #JackTagOutro.
Wow. What an incredible journey we've taken through the world of Travelers and PNC insurance. From understanding the cycles, the turbulence, the recovery, the tech disruption, right down to Travelers' specific strengths in commercial, their challenges in personal lines, those strategic advantages, you've now got the full nuanced picture.
It's clear Travelers is a really disciplined market leader, but one that's navigating some very complex cross currents right now. Its ability to manage those industry risks, leverage its core strengths, and effectively tackle those segment challenges, especially in personal lines, that will really define its performance and market position going forward. It's definitely a fascinating company to watch.
It really is. And it leaves us with a thought, maybe for you, our listener. As you consider any industry or even your own investments, what intangible assets like brand, relationships, expertise do you think truly provide an enduring competitive advantage in a world that's increasingly digital and unpredictable? And how do established giants like Travelers manage to evolve their traditional moat when technology is changing the rules of the game so incredibly rapidly? Something to chew on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this knowledge empowers and informs you. Join us next time for another in-depth exploration.